Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
It's the Alzheimer's Show on WGN Radio. Local.
We're talking with Paul Vallis.
This year alone, violent crime is up another 39%. You need to have a crime prevention strategy.
Informative.
We're talking with Illinois State Senator Chapin Rose.
The Pritzker administration literally knew no bounds during COVID. We just got robbed blind. I mean, literally robbed blind. $5+ billion gone.
Entertaining.
Grammy Award winning poet Jay Ivey. Now that you won your Grammy for The Poet Who Sat by the Door, what do you got in the works for your next album?
Oh, yeah. You know, we cooking, man. We working right now.
The Alzheimer's Show starts now on WGN Radio.
WGN and WGNRadio.com. This is the Alzheimer's Show. I want to thank everybody that took time to click on that link and listen in. Well, if you know those guitar chords, you know that is Pink Floyd's Wish You Were Here. But what you probably don't know is that it is performed by the Australian Pink Floyd Show. And they will be in Chicago September 12th at the Rialto Square Theater. So, I wanted to talk to somebody from the band, and none other than Chris Barnes. He's the vocalist of the band. He joins me right now. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, I really appreciate you doing this. And, off the bat, how did you get involved with, the Pink Floyd Show, the Australian Pink Floyd Show? How did you get involved? Cause I know they went through a couple of vocalists and you're the current vocalist. How did that happen?
Okay. So, the background for me is that, I used to run a children's music workshop, a bit like the Jack Black film, School of Rock. And one of the pupils who was there was the daughter of the band's drummer. And when he came off tour, he came in, and I'd been to see the band a few times, so I knew who he was, and we got chatting. And I explained that, you know, I'm a big Pink Floyd fan, I've got a lot of experience playing their music live and stuff. And he just said, well, look, if ever there's an opportunity in the band, would you be interested in auditioning? And I was like, yes, yeah, I would. And, you know, these opportunities don't come along very often. So here I am talking to you 8 years later. So, yeah. But I've been a long time Pink Floyd fan. I'd seen the Aussie Floyd way back in 1999. So that's the first time I saw the band. And I've seen them many times in between then and now. You know, and then I joined the band in 2015.
Yeah, and trying out for the band, you know, I tried out for a few bands, and I haven't made bands, obviously, because I'm doing radio now. Were you like super nervous, you know, because this band's been around since 1988. They have a cult following, over 500 million tickets sold. I mean, people love this band, and you come along and you audition. So how was it, that first audition? How was it?
Well, if I'm honest, it was both nerve-wracking and not nerve-wracking, because I'd met the band a couple of years earlier, because another thing that the drummer organises for the kids who are in the music workshop that we ran, he arranged for them to get up and sing the, you know, the famous "We Don't Need the Education," you know, the kids' part in Another Brick in the Wall. And the kids got to do that. There's a theatre in Manchester in the UK, and they were just blown away. And I got to know the band then. I got to hang out with them backstage at a few gigs and have a few beers and have a chat and stuff. So they knew who I was. So when I walked in for the audition, I wasn't just this guy off the street who, you know, they knew my credentials kind of thing. And but it still was nerve-wracking, because you're auditioning for Australian Pink Floyd, and that band's reputation is a global entity. You know, it's not a cover band in a bar, you know. So it was both, they made me feel very comfortable, but it was still, you know, I was thinking to myself, there's a lot riding on this. This is a life-changing audition here, which it literally was. It was life-changing.
All right, we're talking with Chris Barnes. He's the vocalist for the Australian Pink Floyd band. And they're going to be at the Rialto Square Theater in Joliet for the Dark Side 50 tour. One thing I always want to ask somebody that's done a lot of tours, does that take a toll on you? Do you find yourself, you know, as far as the stress level, is it super high when you're doing these tours? Because you tour, you know, over in the UK, now you're doing a US tour. How do you prepare for that?
I guess the only stress would be, I mean, I'm a married guy with five children, so I think the only stress would be being away from my wife and kids, really, if I was being really honest, because as a long-time Pink Floyd fan, this music's kind of ingrained in your soul, and then when a set list is decided upon for a tour, and like this year's the 50 Years of Dark Side tour, so we're playing all that album in its entirety all the way through, and you just know what mode to go into to play those songs, so that part of it isn't stressful. Some of the travelling can be a bit grueling, especially over in the States, because, you know, we've just travelled from, you know, Arizona. We're currently in Austin in Texas, and Texas is enormous, and it takes a long time to get across. So there's a lot of travelling involved, and that can be a bit grueling at times. But the stress level is more and more, they're different for different people. But certainly as the vocalist, you've got all those iconic words to remember, and everyone in the audience knows the words. So, you know, you don't get them wrong, because people in the audience know the words better than you do. So, yeah, I wouldn't say it's super stressful, but it's there's a lot of concentration involved, I'll say that.
Yeah, and I came in with Wish You Were Here from when you guys performed it in the UK. And a lot of people take that song and make it their own, you know, people that's, you know, in the audience and because they may have a connection to that song, mm-hmm. to maybe somebody they lost or some point in their life. When you perform that song, does it bring out something emotional in you?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see people having a moment, you know, like you said, that they might be thinking of people that they've lost. You know, I've lost people in my life, and you do kind of, sometimes you are thinking of those people, but you do see, you know, the arm going around the partner in the audience there, and you might see the other person wiping away a tear because it's a sentimental moment for them or something like that. It's a very powerful song. It is a song about loss, and it's quite different from the rest of the set, that song. That's a song that you could see a busker playing on the street on an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
It's quite straightforward in a song to play, you know?
Yeah, and one, another thing, too, you know, Pink Floyd, you know, they've been around for a while. You guys have been around for a while. And, you know, I've talked with other band members, and as far as not Pink Floyd, but just other bands. And, mm-hmm. You know, one thing that I always get told is that rock and roll, you know, is kind of like on a downturn. And do you see like that happening, like as far as rock and roll being on a downturn? Because even current bands still go back and listen to those bands from the 60s and the 70s and even the 80s. And so, you know, you don't see too many bands out now that's trying to emulate or cover bands from like the 90s and, well, at least the late 90s up until now.
Yeah. I would say, I mean, certainly in my lifetime, and I'm in my mid-40s, that the industry has changed, certainly, and the live industry has changed. And I think now, with the internet, it's easier to get your music out there, but also you're kind of also lost in the noise. So the days of someone walking into one of your gigs and signing your band for a five-album deal just don't exist anymore, because the record companies post streaming and Napster and all that. They've changed their working model as well, so there's less money in the industry from an original band point of view. But from the live circuit, people really love to go and see music that they know and they enjoy. And I guess new bands playing their own music probably find it a little harder to get a foothold, you know, and get their corner of the market, get their fan base. But like someone like in our position, we're playing music that people love. They've lived with it all their lives. They've, you know, there's births, marriages, and deaths to this music, and something like Dark Side of the Moon being 50 years old, that's a long amount of time, you know, and there's a reason why it sold so many albums is because it's so damn good. It's one of the biggest selling albums of all time. And I think we're lucky in that respect that we're not doing a tribute to, some band that got out two albums in the 90s and that's it and folded. You know, you do see occasionally there's a tribute band to, I don't know, some band. I mean, I don't know, something like, say, Nirvana or someone from the 90s, because obviously there's lots of Nirvana tributes out there. But moving back, there's lots of Zeppelin tributes, Queen tributes, Beatles tributes. This music will live on long past my lifetime and your lifetime. That's just going to live on and live on in the way that classical music has. Yeah, I see this as the 20th century classical music.
Yeah. We're talking with Chris Barnes. He's the vocalist for the Australian Pink Floyd show. They're going to be at the Rialto Square Theater in Joliet September 12th. So make sure you go check them out. Speaking of, recording and musicianship, Pink Floyd was one of those bands, you know, sonically, to me, they were ahead of the game. When you guys perform and when you guys record, do you guys take that same approach when you go out and perform and record studio stuff?
Well, there's no studio stuff as such. We haven't gone in and recorded original material together or anything like that. But certainly from a live perspective, the band, you know, it's at the cutting edge of technology, but in a retroactive way, because they're trying to recreate, you know, those instruments and equipment that the Floyd used back in the 60s and 70s, that if you own them, that equipment now, they probably wouldn't stand up to the rigours of the 6 months on the road like we do. And I find that there's ways of using, and this is me speaking on behalf of the guitarists and the bass player and the drummer and the keyboard player here, that, you know, they incorporate new technologies in a way to emulate the old equipment, but they also include some old equipment, because there are certain guitar pedals that David Gilmour used that you have to have that pedal to get that sound, because there's just no plug-in on a laptop is going to be able to recreate that exactly like the real thing. So it's a balance of old and new. And you're right, Floyd were on the cusp of new equipment coming out. They had it first. They were, and even in a live environment, you know, with PAs and lighting and the inflatables and the circle screen and lasers, you know, they were really ahead of the curve on a lot of those things, and that's what we replicate. It is a Pink Floyd show, so if you've seen Floyd back in the day, it will remind you of that era. If you've never seen Floyd, then you're going to get what you would have got back in the day, but then with modern equipment, you know. But it doesn't sound modern. It sounds authentic and analog, and there's a lot of attention goes into the feel, so that the vibe is right in the room. You're listening to that music like it was on the album. No one's showing off and playing another guitar solo just because they're great on a guitar. You know, it's really honoring that music with respect.
Yeah. Last question, too. With artificial intelligence being filtered into music and movies, what's your opinion on that? And do you see yourself and the band kind of incorporating artificial intelligence in your show in the future? Do you see that happening, and what's your thoughts on it just overall?
I mean, I agree. When it was used, this sort of demixing, as it was called, was used in the Beatles Get Back project by Peter Jackson, when they were, you know, using the computer. So this is the voice of John Lennon, and this is the voice of Paul McCartney. And when there's all this noise in the background, the computer can isolate from all these microphone sources their conversations, and then we get to see that presented in the Get Back documentary series. I thought that was amazing. But when you see these kind of, here's Axl Rose singing The Carpenters or something like that on YouTube, and someone's done that, and they kind of sound dreadful, to be honest. But for ourselves, I mean, I imagine the expense of doing something like that, and why would we want to do it? I don't know. And I think, you know, I'm not the greatest person to ask in the band about that. Our guitar player Dave is the techno nerd of the band, and he is the guy who creates our screen films. does all our YouTube stuff. He's a computer boffin, as they used to say back in the day. But he's the man for us. But in terms of us incorporating within our show, I don't know. We're certainly not going to do like Adam have done with the show that they've got on in London. They've had on in London for a year or so now, where there is a band playing in the room, but on stage are holograms of ABBA from the 70s, and it looks realistic. Because people were kind of anonymous, weren't they? They weren't kind of... It wasn't like Led Zeppelin, where everybody knew Jimmy Page was, and Robert Plant, or the Queen, everyone knew Freddie Mercury was, and Brian May. But with regards to Pink Floyd, they were just these anonymous people providing music to this experience of concert film, lights, inflatables, lasers, etc. They were kind of like the orchestra. And in that respect, we are anonymous. We are just these people playing this music. It's not, hey, look at me, I'm brilliant at singing. I'm going to, you know, run around the stage like an idiot. Because that's not what Pink Floyd's about. It's kind of, you know, walk on, see you a bit, walk off when you're not needed. You know, that's kind of the ethos of Ozzy Floyd. The music is the important thing, not the people.
And there you have it. Chris Barnes, vocalist for the Australian Pink Floyd Show. They're going to be at the Rialto Square Theater in Joliet September 12th. Make sure you go to Ticketmaster. You can get tickets there. You can also go to AussieFloyd.com. That is AussieFloyd.com if you want to check out this show. You are a true gentleman, Chris. Thanks so much for doing this.
Not a problem. And as a Bears fan, I can't wait to get back to Chicago.